toward a far more mighty and majestic palace, Westminster. Tom stared in wonder at the frowning bastions and turrets. Here indeed was a king's palace. At each side of the gate stood a motionless man-at-arms. At a respectful distance were many country folk and people from the city, waiting for any chance glimpse of royalty. Tom was moving timidly past the sentinels when he caught sight through the golden bars of a boy whose clothing was all of silks and satins, shining with jewels. Tom's eyes grew big with wonder, and before he knew what he was about, he had his face against the gate bars. The next instant one of the soldiers snatched him away and sent him spinning. The crowd jeered and laughed, but the young prince sprang to the gate.
"How darest thou use a poor lad like that? How darest thou use the king, my father's meanest subject, so? Open the gates and let him in."
You should have seen that fickle crowd snatch off their hats then.
"Long live the Prince of Wales!"
The soldiers presented arms with their halberds, opened the gates, and Edward Tudor said,
"Thou lookest tired and hungry. Come with me."
Half a dozen attendants sprang forward to, I don't know what, interfere, no doubt, but they were waved aside, and Edward took Tom to a rich apartment in the palace. By his command, a repast was brought, such as Tom had never encountered before, except in books. The prince, with princely delicacy and breeding, sent away the servants, so that his humble guest might not be embarrassed by their critical presence. Then he sat nearby and asked questions while Tom ate.
"What is thy name, lad?"
"Tom Canty, an it please thee, sir."
"'Tis an odd one. Where dost live?"
"In the city, please thee, sir. Awful Court."
"Awful Court. Hast parents?"
"Parents have I, sir, and a grandam. Also twin sisters, Nan and Bet."
"How old be these?"
15, an it please you, sir."
"The Lady Elizabeth, my sister, is 14, and the Lady Jane Grey, my cousin, is of mine own age, and comely and gracious withal. But my sister, the Lady Mary... Look you, do thy sisters forbid their servants to smile, lest the sin destroy their souls?"
"They? Oh, dost think, sir, that they have servants?"
"And why not? Who helpeth them undress at night?"
"None, sir. Wouldst have them take off their garment and sleep like the beasts?"
"Their garment? Have they but one? What would they do with more? Truly, they have not two bodies each." "Oh, thy pardon. I had not meant to laugh. But tell me of thy awful court. Hast thou a pleasant life there?"
"In truth, yes, so please you, sir, save when one is hungry. There be Punch and Judy shows, and monkeys, and plays wherein they shout and fight till all are slain, and 'tis so fine to see, and costeth but a farthing."
"Tell me more."
"We lads of Awful Court do strive against each other with the cudgel sometimes."
"Tell me more."
"We strive in races, sir, to see who of us shall be fleetest."
"That I would like also. Speak on."
"In summer, sir, we swim in the canals and in the river, and each doth duck his neighbour, and spatter him with water, and dive and shout, and...
'Twould be worth my father's kingdom but to enjoy it once."
"We dance and sing about the maypole and Cheapside. We play in the sand, and we do fairly wallow in the mud, sir."
"Oh, if that I could but revel in the mud just once, with none to rebuke me, I could forego the crown."
"And if that I could clothe me once, sir, as thou art clad,
just once."
"Oh, wouldst like it?"
"Then so it shall be."
A few minutes later, the little Prince of Wales was garlanded with Tom's fluttering odds and ends, and the little Prince of Pauperdom was tricked out in the gaudy plumage of royalty. The two went and stood side by side before a great mirror. And lo, a miracle. There did not seem to have been any change made. They stared at each other, then at the glass, then at each other again. At last, the puzzled princeling said,
"What dost thou make of this? Thou hast the same hair, the same eyes, the same voice and manner, the same form and stature, the same face and countenance that I bear. Harkee, is this not a bruise upon your hand?"
"Yes, but it is..."